Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. If there is one thing I could teach my son, it would be that everyone needs an editor. And if all of us could have an editor like Mignon Fogarty, the English language might be safe for posterity, but we don't. So Mignon has reached out to the legions of English speakers, writers who struggle with grammar, and many of those who just love it. With her podcasts and now through books. She's the Grammar Girl, and millions follow her every day, whether it's on Twitter or through her podcasts. And also, of course, her latest book, it's laid out like one of those prayer-a-day calendars. It's called The Grammar Devotional, Daily Tips for Successful Writing from the Grammar Girl. Mignon, thanks for joining us for the Winter Membership Drive.
Ann, thanks for having me. You make such a good point that everyone needs an editor. People, they're sometimes surprised to hear that I have editors, but I do. I have editors who help me almost every day. So even Grammar Girl needs an editor.
If you're ever unsure about what you're writing and whether it works and whether you've got the apostrophe in the right place or the comma or whether you're using the right form of the verb, you can go to the Grammar Devotional. There are daily tips for successful writing from the Grammar Girl. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News, and this is our winter membership drive, as I mentioned. Remember, your support is the foundation of our budget. Make your pledge of support right now at WOSU.org or by calling 1-866-897-9678. That's 1-866-897-9678. Our goal this hour is $3,000. We already are down to $2,900. We can meet this goal with your help. Online pledges count toward the goal, too, at WOSU.org. And for your pledge of support at the $100 level, our thank you gift to you will be the book, The Grammar Devotional, Daily Tips for Successful Writing from Grammar Girl. At the $100 level, go online to WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. If you have questions or comments for the Grammar Girl, give us a call at 614-292-8513. Or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. Last time you were on, Mignon, we had a couple quizzes, and I'm going to shoot one out there right now so we can get the listeners' brains churning. I want to know what sick stands for. Sometimes you see it in documents, and there's a little word. It's spelled S-I-C, and it is used when there's a typo and you don't want to change the original content. You put sick next to it to show that it wasn't your fault. But what does sick mean? Mignon will answer that later. Give us a call at 614-292-8513 if you have an idea. Mignon, why did you go to the daily devotional sort of format for this book?
Well, you know, I found that people were writing in with questions, and a lot of them were short, simple little things that were even too long to cover in the five-minute podcast that I normally do. And, you know, I was just getting overwhelmed with questions, and instead of answering each one individually by email, I thought it would make a lot more sense to gather them into a book so everyone could benefit from the answers. And it also stemmed out of the daily email newsletter that I do online. So I send out a tip a day, and it just made a lot of sense to compile those into a book and expand it and add quizzes and puzzles and illustrations and, you know, try to make it fun like I always do.
Yeah, I like aardvark and squiggly. Do you do the illustrations?
Oh, no. A guy named Arnie Penn does the illustrations, and I believe he did the Sniglets cartoons. He's wonderful. One of the things I love about the Grammar Devotional is there are characters I talk about in the podcast. Well, there's Squiggly and Aardvark, who are two buddies who they fish and, you know, do fun adventures together. And one of the things they do is they battle the peeves, the horde of angry peeves. And in the Grammar Devotional, we have the first illustration of the peeves, and they just turned out exactly as I imagined them. Arnie did a great job.
You know, with the peeves, you know, we all have our peeves. But I try to remember that I do things incorrect. I say things. I speak incorrectly sometimes. I write incorrectly. I know this. And I'm a writer. But I know that it's sort of stuff that's built into me. And the question is, do I check on it and fix it later? You have a way of writing your books and doing your podcasts and everything that it's very non-judgmental. It's a nice feeling to read them. You don't feel like you're an idiot.
Thank you. Well, I feel as if there are enough people out there willing to jump on others that, you know, I don't need to do that. So I try to, you know, I find that if you're criticizing people, they're not going to be as open to learning. I mean, if you're telling someone, if you start out saying you're stupid and here's how you do it right, you're going to lose them at you're stupid.
You can learn a whole bunch in the Grammar Devotional, Daily Tips for Successful Writing from the Grammar Girl. Mignon Fogarty, the Grammar Girl, is on the air right now with me, and you're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher. With a pledge of support at the $100 level for our winter membership drive, our thank you gift to you will be the book, The Grammar Devotional, Daily Tips for Successful Writing from Grammar Girl. That's at the $100 level, but give what you can. We appreciate every little bit. We know that times are hard, and we want you to feel like you're a part of this station when you make your pledge of support at 1-866-897-9678. Or go to WOSU.org. You can see a picture of the front of the book, and you can see, I guess it's your avatar, isn't it?
Right, yeah, the little cartoon character of Grammar Girl.
You know what you ought to do is like be flying through the air, because for some people who have called me and talked to me about you since your show the last time with us, you really are sort of a superhero to them.
We have a cartoon. We have some T-shirts and stuff on the Grammar Girl website. And in one of the illustrations, she has on a cape, and she's saying, "To infinitives and beyond."
See, it's just that feeling you get. If you want to talk to the Grammar Girl, Mignon Fogarty, give us a call at 614-292-8513. And Raymond, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning. How are you all this morning?
Very well, thank you.
Wonderful. I have a question for the Grammar Girl.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. On our online component, Capital City Radio, we have a show called The World, which is listed as a co-production of the BBC Radio Service, WGBH Boston, and PRI.
Okay. Hey, Raymond?
Yes, sir.
I'm a girl, but that's okay. I answered a lot of things. I think you need to get a little closer to your phone. There's a huge amount of static. It's very difficult to understand you.
Okay. I'm sorry. Is this better?
Not really. But just go ahead. We'll do the best we can.
Okay. I'm sorry about that.
That's okay.
It's a new phone.
Okay.
Well, my question is it true for a program to be produced by, to be a co-production of three organizations? I'll take my answer off the air.
Oh, I see. You're wondering if co-produced should only apply to two.
Right.
I off the top of my head, I don't know for sure. I always try to say, admit what you don't know and look it up, and I'm not able to look it up right now. But I would think, it seems to me as if something could be co-produced by three people. I don't think that co comes from a Latin root or anything like that that's related to two. I could be wrong. So maybe I'm sure someone will call in and correct me if I am, but my gut feeling is that it could be co-produced by three entities.
If you're wondering what Raymond was talking about, that's Capital City Radio. You can learn more about that on capital.org. It's our newest show, capitalcityradio.org. Thank God for my producer over there through the glass. Capitalcityradio.org. It's our newest show on at WOSU 820. If you're wondering what Raymond was talking about, Mignon, sometimes it must feel like people are trying to stump the grammarian.
Well, there are so many questions that people wonder about. And, you know, I look at my library. I have about at least 30 reference books that I use to put out the show and the podcast and to write my books. You know, I tell people I don't make this stuff up. You know, it comes from existing reference materials. I couldn't do my work without the dictionaries and the lexicographers and the other grammarians, you know, who for the last 200 years have documented our language. And there's just, and it's, you know, thousands of pages. And even those books don't cover everything because it's a very complicated language. And people have all sorts of questions. I'm thinking, you know, I can't think of a better way to say that something is produced by three different entities, but I don't know if co co is tied to two or not. You usually hear it used that way.
Mm-hmm. This is listener-supported WOSU 820 NPR News, and this is All Sides with Ann Fisher. Joining us this morning, Mignon Fogarty, with our thank you gift for this hour, the Grammar Devotional, Daily Tips for Successful Writing from Grammar Girl. This is Mignon's newest book, and we are offering it here during our winter membership drive. Call 1-866-897-9678 and make a pledge of $100 and pick up your very own copy of this useful and fun book. Give the quizzes to your family and friends, you know, stump them. Because I was stumped a few times. How do you come up with the quizzes, Mignon?
Oh, well, they're just based on things that people ask me, just like this question. You know, I could go look up when we're off the line, I'll go look it up, and it could be a quiz in a couple of weeks. You know, is co limited to two people, or can it be more? I was just thinking three people could collaborate on something, but I think that may have a co root too, collaborate. I'm not certain, but... Yeah,
but we'll find out. So no one has called in yet with an answer for our quiz question. What does sick stand for? That's S-I-C. You usually see it next to a typo or a misspelled word, that kind of a thing. What does sick stand for? 614-292-8513, or you can email us that at allsides@wosu.org. And Gordon, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Oh, hi. I hadn't realized the question because I just got in my car, but the sick stands means thus. I mean, it's an indication that the author has, somebody you're quoting, for example, has misused a word or.
Why the word sick?
Well, I say it means thus in
okay.
Latin.
Okay, I see.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, very few people know that. Good job.
Regarding co, I think it comes from a Latin root meaning with. I mean, you do see it in collaborate and compassion, and it doesn't have anything to do with two.
Oh,
so
wonderful!
Thank
you.
I'm sure something can be co-produced, but my question is: do you try to do anything about the correct use of the subjunctive in your grammar devotion?
Yes, I'm nearly certain that I cover the subjunctive in there. I know I've done it in the podcast and in my earlier book, so I sometimes forget what I've covered where, but I'm nearly certain it's in there. And the subjunctive is when you say, I wish I were, instead of I wish I was. And what I always tell people to remember is that the subjunctive is for something wishful or contrary to fact. And you can think of Tevye in Fiddler on the Roof singing, I wish I were a rich man. And he's not a rich man. He's just wishing. And a lot of people can usually remember how that song goes. And they think, I wish I were a rich man.
Da 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 da. Okay. Gordon?
It drives me nuts. Hello?
Yeah, Gordon?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. I mean, I'm one of those grammar sticklers who, I mean, it's absolutely vanished from even usage on what used to be, you know, radio and television. It's very hard to find the correct use of.
Well, you can find the...
I applaud you if you found a way to try to teach that.
Thanks for your call, Gordon. You can find an explanation for subjunctive on page 106 of the Grammar Devotional, Daily Tips for Successful Writing from Grammar Girl. That's Mignon Fogarty. She's on the air with us right now. Thank you so much for being with us today, Mignon, for our winter membership drive. We are looking for your help. We need your help. It's what that's the public in public radio is you. You out there listening right now. I know you're listening hard. We want you to call in and talk with Mignon if you have questions or comments. Thanks to Gordon, we have answers to two of our questions already. Pretty smart people out there in public radio land, huh, Mignon?
Yes, very few people know that SIC stands for thus, though. A lot of it, you see it in texts when... there's an error, and the writer wants the readers to know it's not their error. It's the error of someone they're quoting. And a lot of people think it stands for spelling incorrect or, you know, some acronym for something like that, but it's actually Latin for thus. I wonder if Gordon had taken Latin because both his answers were Latin.
Well, he took it and he remembered it. So, thank you to Beth in Columbus and Carol in Columbus and Eileen in South Seoul. And we have $2,500 to go. We appreciate all your help. Give us what you can at the $100 pledge level. You will learn when the difference between pled and pleaded. What's the difference between pled and pleaded? needed and what a comma splice is and much, much more. I do not know what a comma splice is, but I aim to find out as soon as we get back. Call 1-866-897-9678 or visit WOSU.org and find out more about the grammar devotional at the $100 pledge level. You can go online. You can see a picture of it, a picture of the cover of the book. It's about quick and dirty tips and helping you do things better. And it does. If you've ever had any questions about grammar, this is a great book for anybody at any age who cares about writing, especially kids who think they don't need help because it's very it's easy to read. You can read all the way through it one a day, or you can just kind of flip through it, Mignon, right?
Right. It's, yeah. It's funny. People who have bought the book, they will say, they'll email and say, I'm so sorry. I've read ahead. I did all the word search puzzles the first day. And I thought, it's okay. I don't mind if you read ahead.
You could probably do word search puzzles, just, you know, a whole book of those educational word search puzzles.
Yeah.
People would love them.
Yeah.
Thanks to Jane in Columbus, and thank you to Jackie and Laura in Worthington. We have $2,000 to go in our winner membership pledge drive on this hour. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News. And my guest today, Mignon Fogarty, the Grammar Girl, author of The Grammar Devotional, Daily Tips for Successful Writing from Grammar Girl. She's the famous podcaster. Are you still in the top 100?
Yeah, I am. I think I'm 48 today.
Oh, my gosh. That's great. Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm feeling very anxious about your pledge drive, though. I'm going to feel like a failure. I'm going to feel like a failure if my segment doesn't meet our goal. So.
Well, I don't think you're a failure in any way. We just appreciate you being... Yeah, we're doing very, very well, and we appreciate you being with us today because you're a very busy person. What are all the different things you do? You do the podcast.
Right. I do the weekly podcast. I do right now a daily email newsletter that may be going back to weekly soon. I do a weekly iPhone app that has exclusive content you can only get there. So that's pretty new, the iPhone app. You can get it at iTunes. And I'm writing a third book. I have a book coming out very late this year for students, designed especially for middle school and high school students. And I do public speaking. I was on the road all at the end of last year promoting my book and doing some speaking engagements. So, yeah, I keep pretty busy. And I'm on Twitter and Facebook as Grammar Girl. And I try to do that every day.
I follow you on Twitter and Facebook. As you can see and hear, Mignon Fogarty is a very, very busy person. She's taken time out of her busy day to spend with us, helping us learn more about grammar, answering your questions, fielding your comments. We're doing a great job. Our goal was $3,000. We now have $1,900 to go. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820. Joining us this morning, as I said, Mignon Fogarty with our thank you gift for this hour, The Grammar Devotional, Daily Tips for Successful Writing from Grammar Girl. This is Mignon's newest book, and we're offering it here during our winter membership drive. Call 1-866-897-9678 and make a pledge of $100 and pick up your very own copy of this useful and fun book. And it's in a very nice and convenient size too, Mignon. Was that intentional?
Yeah, it's small. You could slip it in your purse or your glove compartment, and it has rounded corners. It's very attractive. I think I just love this book. The publisher did a fantastic job with just the design. You know, just the way it looks. I really love it.
You know,
I'm biased.
there's something that you've been twittering about a lot lately. It's regarding Amazon and Macmillan.
Yes, it's been such a frustrating week for so many authors. I'm a Macmillan author, and Macmillan is my publisher. They've been doing price negotiations with Amazon over ebooks. So it seems to have stemmed from Apple coming out with the iPad and offering publishers a different pricing structure for ebooks.
Okay.
And for the last few years, Amazon has been selling ebooks for $9.99. which is below cost for them. So they've been using ebooks as a loss leader to sell Kindles, essentially. And they Macmillan started to push back on that use of ebooks as a loss leader. And apparently the negotiations didn't go well. And Amazon not only pulled all Macmillan ebooks from their website, but they also disabled the buy button on print books for all Macmillan books.
Wow.
all of them. So I have been following this, and, you know, ebooks only make up about 2% of the market. So, you know, at first I thought just ebooks had been pulled, and it's like, oh, you know, oh, whatever, they're negotiating. And then when I saw that they had basically killed all print books, I was flabbergasted. I just couldn't believe that Amazon had done this, and a lot of authors were just outraged because it hurts authors more than anyone. You know, any of our book sales, you know, to Macmillan, they can weather a few weeks of no sales, but to an individual author, you know, Amazon is a large book outlet, and we sell a lot of books through them, and, you know, we push business to them, and for them to just turn off all our books, it's still just beyond comprehension to me. And there's, even though Amazon said that they were going to capitulate and put them back up, as far as I know, they still have not. I think it's been almost a week. I think it happened last Friday.
Wow. So you're not going to find Mignon's book on Amazon, but you will find it if you go to WOSU.org and go to the $100 pledge level. And that is our gift to you today, the Grammar Devotional, Daily Tips for Successful Writing from Grammar Girl. Or you can call us at 1-866-897-9678. If you want to talk to Mignon, give us a call at 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@WOSU.org. Diane, you are on the air.
Hi. I found Miss Grammar Girl through Mr. Manners, which is a lovely podcast. But I just so appreciate getting those podcasts and reminders and learning from them. They're amazing.
What have you learned, Diane?
Well, that I'm horrible at grammar. Among the many things, but it's an easy way. She's got a lovely voice, and she clearly takes many tips from Mr. Manners because she's so politically correct, it seems like.
Well, thank you. Oh, and it's nice to talk about the other shows. I'm part of a network that I founded called Quick and Dirty Tips, and we have a lot of other podcasts with five-minute quick tips, too. So there's Mr. Manners and The Mighty Mommy and The Nutrition Diva, The Public Speaker, The Get It Done Guy. We have about 15 different shows. So, you know, almost anything you'd be interested in, so, you know, that you'd like to spend 5 minutes a day learning a little bit more about in a fun, friendly way. So that's quickanddirtytips.com.
You started out on your own, though, right? On podcasting?
I did. Grammar Girl was the first show in the Quick and Dirty Tips network. And then when it became so successful, I brought some friends on board and then eventually partnered with Macmillan. So now Macmillan backs the podcast network and has really done a lot to help it grow and become more successful. So
it's kind of a how-to sort of a thing. And what Grammar Girl does is explain to you how to use grammar, all different kinds of things. If you get this book, some of the things you'll learn about, advertisements, advice versus advise, advisor versus advisor, backward versus backwards, barbecue, before versus prior, begs the question, between you and me versus I. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. You have some references to British English and how it differs from American English. You could probably write a whole book about that alone, right?
Right. Oh, it's fascinating. We have Noah Webster to thank for American spellings of words. He decided that it was a revolutionary time in America when he was writing his dictionary, and he thought America needed its own language to hold together as a country. And he just, when he was writing his dictionary, he decided pretty much to change the sum of the spellings to make them simpler. And
he did it on purpose?
He did, yeah, he did. He thought, he actually was a language revolutionary. He wrote an earlier dictionary a lot of people don't know about, and he spelled women, W-I-M-M-E-N, and tongue, T-U-N-G. He was a spelling reform radical, and he sort of he dialed it back for his more famous dictionary.
And confused us for all times.
Yes, yes. we're lucky we got the simpler version of the spellings.
You can get a lot of clarification from the Grammar Devotional by Mignon Fogarty. It is our thank you gift to you at the $100 pledge level for our winter membership drive. The book contains 365 tips and tricks for improving your writing. The book, it's divided into a tip of the day format with 365 lessons that will inspire you to improve your writing and speaking. it has word searches, cartoons, and word scramble games to help make learning fun, but mostly it's an incredible reference book. On the first day with the book, you will learn how to make McDonald's a possessive name in the proper way, and by week 9, you are learning when to use dragged versus drug. The McDonald's thing is a real that whole issue about possessive with plural names is really kind of controversial, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Well, the McDonald's thing is strange because you think if you have a word that already has an apostrophe S in it, how do you make it possessive? And technically, you should make McDonald's possessive by adding another apostrophe S. So it should be McDonald's. But that looks so strange that the advice is to rewrite your sentence so that you don't have to format it that way.
If you want to possess the Grammar Devotional, call 1-866-897-9678 and possess it the feel-good way by making a pledge to WOSU today. Do it right now during All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU. Call 1-866-897-9678. We're still at that $1,900 level. We got to get it moving. Or go to WOSU.org. You can see a picture of the book and learn more about it if I haven't told you enough already. You can find out whether the word email should be hyphenated or not. You can find that answer in the Grammar Girl. In the back of the book includes an index for quick referencing, and answers to all of the puzzles are included too. They don't make you wait till the next day to get the answer. You can just, and it, that, of course, that's a that's probably a cheater alert right there. But do people try to stump you?
Sometimes, yeah. They find it especially, I think people find it fun to catch me in an error, you know, because I'm supposed to be the expert, and nobody can know everything. And for example, when I send out my email newsletter, I have an editor who looks at it every day, but we're putting it out every day, and it's just the two of us who look at it. So occasionally there are typos or, some small error. And when that happens, we just get a flood of email, and a lot of people seem to revel in catching us in errors. And, you know, we try to take it with a grain of salt and issue corrections or, you know, but, yeah, it is funny. People do seem to – it's almost sport.
You opined recently about the folks who ask your opinion and then argue with you about it.
Oh, right, yeah. That's funny. When people have their mind – because so many of the things that – that we have to deal with in English are style choices.
Yeah.
You know, there are big differences between Associated Press style and Chicago style. For example, AP is for magazines and newspaper, and Chicago tends to be more for books. And people will learn a style and they'll think it's a rule. And so they might ask for clarification, but then if I don't agree with them, they'll argue even though it's a style choice. An example of a difference between AP and Chicago is it's called the serial comma. It's the last comma before and in a series. So red comma, white comma, and blue. That last comma is called the serial comma. And AP says to leave it out, and Chicago says to use it. But most people just learn it one way or the other, and then they think that that's the only way to do it, and they'll think everyone else is wrong.
You know, it's tough in the newspaper business when you go from one newspaper to another, and there's one habit formed at one newspaper, and it does become a habit, you're right, and then to have to go to another newspaper. I'm trying to think of my experience with that, a good example of that, and I can't right now, but there are several, and it's very stressful. You have to do it their style. That's the way you have to write. And it is funny how attached we get to the way we write and the way we speak.
Right. And I think English has more styles than a lot of other languages. In France, they have something called the French Academy that sort of safeguards the French language. And I believe they write the official French dictionary. And it always cracks me up. They call the members of the Academy the Immortals. It always makes me think of the Saturday morning Super Friends.
This is the way it is forever.
Right. Right, but we don't have that in English. We have style guides and choices and a more fluid, evolving language. So that means we have more disagreements to work out. But it also gives our language, I think, a richness.
It's also probably pretty stressful for someone who's new to the language and trying to fit in.
Yeah. I get the most difficult questions I get are from people learning English. They have a hard time with prepositions. You know, why should I say I'm at a restaurant or in a restaurant? And I can't answer those questions. It, you know, in that instance, either one could be correct. And, you know, in other phrases, it's not clear why we choose one over the other. But prepositions in particular are just, they sort of just are the way they are in English. And it's people just have to memorize things.
This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News. Our thank you gift to you this hour during our winter pledge drive at the $100 level is the Grammar Devotional. Pick up a book for yourself or pick up one for as a gift for the grammar lover in your life. Or perhaps you know someone who needs a little help with their writing. It would be a great gift for them. Also, that made me think our last conversation. If you know somebody who's learning English as a second language, this would be a fantastic gift for them. If you're a teacher of English as a second language, this would be a wonderful gift for your students, for anybody you know who struggles with the language, because if there's one thing you hear, we take it for granted, and those of us who've grown up with it, we argue with each other. Think of somebody who comes in new to the language and has to kind of cope with it and trying to fit in and that sort of thing. Give us a call, 1-866-897-9678. 1-866-897-9678, or go to WOSU.org to make your pledge right now. The Grammar Devotional is our gift to you this hour at the $100 level. Pick up a book now. They're fun for anybody. I it's dog-eared now, Mignon. I mean, it's pretty sad, and I keep it right in my office and use it. I still write, and I use it all the time. And sometimes I just look through it and figure out and look at the language rock star for the day. What are the language rock stars about?
Oh, well, the language rock star, they're people like Noah Webster. When I first started being Grammar Girl, I didn't know a lot about the history of our language, but people always ask me, why does the language change? Why do we have British and American English? And the more I read, the more I became aware of these giants in the history of English language that, I felt like didn't get enough recognition for the contributions they had made. So, I don't talk about them in the podcast much, but in the Grammar Devotional, I have a few entries about language rock stars. So just, people you should know about. James Murray, who was the major editor for the Oxford English Dictionary, one of the most amazing dictionaries ever produced. And the Simplified Spelling Society, the people who like Noah Webster, had been arguing for simplified spelling for years. I mean, Benjamin Franklin and Theodore Roosevelt were proponents of simplified spelling. And, who else? Shakespeare. Shakespeare was a language rock star. He created thousands of words that we use today, like courtship and frugal and silliness. So, just people that I figure if someone's going to buy the Grammar Devotional, they're interested in the English language. And I think people who are interested in English would appreciate knowing about these people who helped form our language in one way or another.
Quiz for our listeners out there is to tell us what the difference, the usage difference between bring and take. When do you use the word bring and when do you use the word take? What's the difference? Give us a call at 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We have a couple of emails. One of them's regarding the question about sick. It's from Mark. He calls himself Editor Mark. He says that there's Kelly referred to sick. Sick, she says, sick means you're referencing a written or spoken quote exactly as is, which is true. But Kelly, we were asking, why do we use sick? And another caller called in and said it's Latin for thus. So this is the way it was, thus. We have an email from Mark, who listed himself as Editor Mark. He says, co is a form of com, same as cum, Latin for with. So no reason it should not apply to more than two things that are shared, which is what our caller, I think the same caller that had the explanation for sick. Public radio listeners are pretty smart people. They ask great questions, and they often have the answer as well.
Yeah.
If you are a public radio devotee, become a devotee of the Grammar Devotional. Call 1-866-897-9678 and make that pledge today. Give what you can. You know we care about whatever you can give. It doesn't. There's not too little and not too much. For $100 at the $100 pledge level, our gift to you this hour, the Grammar Devotional. Daily tips for successful writing from the Grammar Girl. Call 1-866-897-9678 or go to WOSU.org to make that pledge right now. Thank you to Ann and Judy in Columbus. We have $1,600 to go and about 20 minutes to go. It's plenty of time to get this done, and then you can sit back and relax and listen to the Grammar Girl tell us what we need to know about grammar or what she knows about grammar. Mignon, I was wondering about writing captions. I thought that was really interesting that you included that in the book, because particularly if you're a big Facebook user, people are posting photos a lot now and they aren't very good at writing captions. Now, I'm from the newspaper business, so, you know, I had a lot of practice in it, but you have a whole, you know, a section on that too. What inspired you to put that in there?
Right. Well, people have written in asking that question a lot. When you're posting a picture of someone to Facebook, should you say Anne and I or Anne and me? And it's tricky because you're not writing a sentence. It's a sentence fragment, really. So you have to think about what that tag that you're putting on the picture represents. Are you saying this is Anne and me at the beach, or are you saying Anne and I went to the beach? And this is a picture of us, or something like that. So you sort of have to project and think about what you're trying to say with just those names. And usually I think that you're trying to say this is a picture of Anne and me. So the probably the better caption would be Anne and me. But really you could make an argument for either one because it's not a sentence.
But if it were Anne and I, it'd be Anne and I going to the beach.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So if I'm writing captions, I always try to write complete sentences so it's clear. But I have a higher, you know, people expect more from me.
That's the pressure. Hey, thanks to Linda and Kathleen in Columbus, and thanks to Christopher in Delaware for helping us meet our $3,000 goal this hour. It's not easy. Every little bit helps, and we appreciate every little bit you can do. And at the $100 level, you will be supporting public radio and supporting all sides. And you can get your own copy of the Grammar Devotional, which we are talking about all this hour with Grammar Girl herself. Pick up the phone and call 1-866-897-9678 or go online to our secure server at WOSU.org. We have $1,300 to go. It's fantastic. Thank you so much for all your support, all your help in making public radio a reality for you every single day. People depend on it. I know you depend on it. If you're a listener, you're probably a regular listener. So show your support today, 1-866-897-9678. Or go to our secure server at WOSU.org, and you can see a picture of the cover of the book, too. And you can see Grammar Girl's avatar, ponytailed and whatnot. And I think at the back of this book, yeah, you can see a real picture of Mignon as well. So you get the whole package here, 1-866-897-9678. If you want to talk to Mignon, we still have time, 614-292-8513. And Sanu?
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
You just asked about take and bring, and that's kind of like one of my pet peeves.
Okay.
Because, like, people, I don't know, they always say, like, are you bringing your kids with you? Are you taking your kids, isn't it?
I don't know.
Well, it depends. Bring and take has to do with the
isn't
perception.
It where you are? It's like,
yeah, you ask people to bring things to where you are,
correct.
And you take things to somewhere else. So
correct.
If you're at home, you would tell your husband, "I'm going to take the kids to school
correct.
Now."
Right.
Right. And if you're calling him on his way home from work, you would say,
correct.
"Could you bring the kids home?"
Correct. Exactly. It's which direction you are in. And people always say, "I don't know." Always hear people
right.
say, "Are you?" Yeah, I don't know.
Just, right. It gets tricky when you're thinking about the future, so that you are neither.
Right.
in nor at the place where the action will happen in the future. It hasn't happened yet, and that it can be ambiguous in some situations, and then you can kind of use either one. But if you're you know, talking about something in the present, it's usually pretty clear. You bring, you ask people to bring things to where you are, and you take things
right.
somewhere else.
Yeah. Well, thanks for clearing that up. I love the show. Thank you.
Thanks, Sunny. Thanks for listening. Thanks for the call.
One thing I wanted to mention is if people are learning English too, I hear that, you know, the podcast is free at iTunes, and then the complete script of the podcast is available on our website. So some people will download the podcast and then follow along on the text on the website, and they find that that helps them learn English too.
We have another question. We have a question about knowing grammar and foreign language. Paula, you're on the air.
Hi. Yeah, my comment, I've been teaching college-level English for years. I love teaching grammar, and so thanks for the effort in keeping grammar cool. That's not always easy to convey to young people. But I have a stepson who's 15 and taking his second year of Spanish, and it's just dawning on him that it's a whole lot easier to figure out syntax and grammar in Spanish if he already knows it in English. So that correlation there is pretty interesting, I think.
Yeah, the best and the first and best grammar instruction I got was in when I took German in high school, and I hear that from a lot of people that they never really understood grammar until they took a foreign language, because I think that just more time is spent on it when you're learning a foreign language.
Well, they automatically, in a foreign language class, they just dive in and start telling you have to memorize your, you know, the past participles of something, and if you don't know what it is.
Right, exactly. That's also part of why I just wanted to say thanks again for making it something that, because you made reference to this earlier, that grammar can be fun and cool and interesting, and it doesn't have to be something that, you know, you get the whip and lash from your, you know, seventh grade English teacher that it's a terrible, horrible thing.
Right. I think of grammar as the rules to the game of writing. And I remember it struck me one day when my little brother was really into Pokemon, and he was going on and on and on about the rules and associated with each of the different characters. And I thought, he can remember all of that, but he can't remember the basics of English, you know? And I thought, well, we just have to make it more fun.
You remember last time you were on, we had the, how was it? The Conjunction Junction, and what was the name of that?
Schoolhouse Rock.
Schoolhouse Rock. We should have done that again. Well, we couldn't do it. Yeah. It's pledge drive today, so we couldn't do it. But the next time you're on, we'll do some more of those, because those were a lot of fun and, you know, always helped me remember things. Do you remember those, Paula?
Yes, absolutely. And I use them in the classroom, and I reference them on my classroom blog and everything else. Even college students, you know, those were originally made for young kids, but they love to hear that. And everybody remembers that conjunction, junction. You know, they can all recite it then. So
Conjunction Junction was the most popular of all the Schoolhouse Rock pieces. So I thought I was, you know, had a great memory, but actually they probably pounded it in my brain 1,000 times. But Paula, thanks for your call.
Thank you very much.
We have $1,000 to go in our winter membership drive for this hour. Thank you so much to everybody for your support and for your generosity. I know that you're doing it because you know you're getting a great deal from WOSU 820 and NPR News. That phone number one more time if you want to call in, 1-866-897-9678 with your pledge. Pick up Mignon Fogarty's The Grammar Devotional, Daily Tips for Successful Writing from Grammar Girl. This book contains word searches and cartoons and all kinds of stuff. It's great to read cover to cover over the 365-day year, and a great book to browse through quickly when and using the helpful index in the back. It is a great gift for anybody you know who loves language or struggles with language. As I said before, I hadn't thought about it until today, but it's a great gift for somebody who's learning English as a second language, because it deals very conversationally with some of the struggles we have. And you talk plain. It's not like a rule book. It's just a conversation about grammar. It sort of feels like Mignon. And so do your podcasts.
Thanks. Yeah. No, to me, it's just fascinating. So I try to convey that sort of sense of wonder and excitement about the language. There's so much to know, and it really can be fun.
You can learn about that in a very fun way, in a very easy way, a very digestible way in the Grammar Devotional. That's what we're talking about this hour with Grammar Girl herself. Pick up the phone. Call 1-866-897-9678 or go online to our secure server at WOSU.org. We only have $800 to go in about 10 minutes. We appreciate it. Thank you so much to everybody for your help. We are so close to our goal of $3,000. Wouldn't it make Mignon feel better to know that she helped raise $3,000 for WOSU 820? She's taken an hour out of her extremely busy day. This is a person who is on a 90-degree angle curve, if there is such a thing, in busyness. You just decided to start a podcast one day, and then boom, you know, the next thing you know, you're in the top 100 in iTunes. Call 1-866-897-9678 or go to WOSU.org to make your pledge now. Give what you can. We appreciate everything. Most of all, we appreciate your support. Whatever amount that comes in, we appreciate it. If you can manage it with membership to the OSU at the $100 level, you will be supporting public radio, supporting all sides, and you can get your own copy of the Grammar Devotional. Thank you to Sam from Mount Vernon and Phyllis in Columbus. Appreciate you listening. Appreciate you staying with us for this hour. It sometimes can get kind of tough, I know, but we have $700 to go now in about 8 minutes. So we're doing very, very well. So Mignon will feel so much better when she gets off the phone today. I mean, it's a great investment of her time. She's a very busy person. So we appreciate it very much. The Grammar Devotional, Daily Tips for Successful Writing from Grammar Girl. That's what we're talking about with Mignon Fogarty, Grammar Girl herself. Call us at 1-866-897-9678 or go to WOSU.org. Go to our secure server there and you can pick up the phone. Or you can go to our secure server and you can order up a copy of Grammar Girl, because that's our gift to you for a $100 pledge for the winter membership drive. Mignon, what's next? Where else can you go? How big is your universe?
Well, you know, we're trying to find more ways to bring the content that's on the iPhone app to a bigger audience. You know, the minute we launched it, people started saying, well, I don't have an iPhone, but I'd like to get that material. So we're trying to find ways to make that available. And then, as I said, I'm working on a book for students, so I'm working hard on that right now. And then I loved Schoolhouse Rock so much that I'm also looking into trying to make some new songs, because I think that music does help people remember, you know, the rule. I mean, you just don't remember things the way you do until you hear them with music and you're singing along. So I'm looking into ways to make that possible too. So I've got a lot of new things going on too.
One of the topics you bring up in the Grammar Devotional is the word literally. Tell us about your feelings about that word, literally.
Well, literally, too many people use it to mean figuratively, and it's a pet peeve for a lot of people. You know, if you say, my head is going to literally explode, you know, well, it's not. You know, you might have a headache. Your head may be figuratively feeling like it's going to explode, but it's not going to pop off your neck. And I was delighted when, I think it was last year, the TV show How I Met Your Mother did an episode on where they highlighted each character's annoying habits. And one of the habits was there was a character who overused literally all the time. And that was a funny little segment they included.
So literally, though, we do need your help. We need your help out there to support public radio. That is absolutely, totally, literally the truth. That's what it's called, public radio. Why? Because the public supports it. How? By calling in today for our winter membership drive. Call 1-866-897-9678 or go to WOSU.org to make your pledge today. Right now, our $3,000 goal, we're getting closer and closer. We have $600 to go. That's just six more $100 pledges. But give what you can. I know it's tough for some people out there, so every little bit counts. We appreciate every little bit. And it'll make Mignon feel so much better when she gets off the phone today to know that she helped raise $3,000 for WOSU 820. Go online to WOSU.org. Or call us at 1-866-897-9678. And at the $100 pledge level, you too can have a copy of the Grammar Devotional, Daily Tips for Successful Writing from Grammar Girl. Talk about on week 22, Monday, you talk about a question of drama, the difference between a dash and a colon. Why?
Oh, yes. Well, you can use them for similar things. So a dash, they both introduce something. So if you make a statement and then you want to say more about it, you can use a dash or a colon. But a dash is a more dramatic mark. You know, I always think if you're dashing to the store, you're not just going to the store, you're going in a hurry. And a dashing young man is, you know, it's not an ordinary young man. He's like a dramatic, you know, dashing young man. So a dash is just a mark that adds more drama to your writing. You know, if you use a dash, you better make sure that something, the thing that follows it, warrants that excitement, that introduction. So, you know, some people they overuse the dash in their writing, and you just reserve it for times when you have something exciting or important to say.
It's not to set apart something all the time.
No, it can be. You can use a dash, you know, in the same way you would use parentheses or commas to make a statement that's an aside in the middle of a sentence. But if you do that, you're drawing much more attention to it than if you use parentheses or commas to set it aside. So it's a very loud punctuation mark. So you want to make sure that what you're using it for merits the shouting.
You know, there's a lot of things in the Grammar Devotional, Daily Tips for Successful Writing from Grammar Girl, that don't necessarily deal specifically with grammar per se, but the choices that we have in the English language, the Americanized English language, you know, the choices we have and how we can speak and how we can write and the logic behind it. And it makes speaking and writing a lot more thoughtful and a lot more fun. You can get a copy of the Grammar Devotional, Daily Tips for Successful Writing from Grammar Girl, by calling 1-866-897-9677. And making that $100 pledge. At the $100 pledge level, that is our gift to you, your very own copy of the Grammar Devotional. It's a great gift. It's something your kids will love, your parents will love. Anybody who cares about language or needs to learn more about it, someone who's learning the language would be especially helpful for them. Give us a call at 1-866-897-9678, or you can order it online at WOSU.org, because that's our gift to you. We have $500 to go now, thanks to Carolyn in Pickerington and Deborah in Springfield for helping us meet our $3,000 goal. We have $500 to go. That's just five more calls at the $100 level, and we will meet our goal, and it'll make Mignon, as she, you know, she said, just make it stressing her out, folks.
Are we going to make it?
We have to make it for her, because she's given her time to talk to us. She's a very busy person, and it's so much fun to talk to you, Mignon, and thanks for coming back so soon. You were just here a couple months ago.
I'm always glad to come back.
And people always enjoy it. We haven't been getting as many calls today. I think it's because I haven't been asking as many quiz questions. But next time we will. We'll get you out there thinking. If you have any questions, next time Mignon will be able to get to more of those. But for now, if you can pick up the phone and call 1-866-897-9678, or go to WOSU.org and help us meet that $3,000 goal. We are at $500 still. Our volunteers gave their time. Call and talk to them and make a pledge for all sides with Ann Fisher at 1-866-897-9678. Show your support for the show. Tell them you like it by making a pledge now at 1-866-897-9678. You know, when I got this job, people said, geez, you're going to have to ask for money now. And I said, that is the least of my problems. I love asking for money for public radio. I am so proud to work in public radio. I love working for the public. I love hearing what people have to say when they call in and when they write us emails before and after the show sometimes. And it's always interesting. It's certainly nothing to feel badly about. I feel very good. Did I use badly properly there, Mignon?
Actually, you just say you feel bad.
Bad. Okay, bad. See?
Yeah, fails is a linking verb, so yeah.
Bad and badly is one of my problems. I know I misuse it. I work on it all the time, and it's nice to have the Grammar Devotional, Daily Tips for Successful Writing from Grammar Girl, to help me through that. It is our gift to you at the $100 pledge level. Go call 1-866-897-9678. We have $400 to go and about 1.5 minutes. Just four calls at the $100 level. I know you want to help Mignon, make this so she can walk away and brag about it all day long. 1-866-897-9678 or go to WOSU.org to make your pledge. Make whatever pledge you can. We appreciate anything you can give. We know times are hard, and we can appreciate that. We appreciate your support for public radio, public media at WOSU 820 NPR News. It's our winter membership drive. It's going to go on, but if you give now, you can relax, sit back and relax for the rest of the time and just enjoy the shows. That number again, 1-866-897-9678. We just have 1 minute to go. Or go to go online at WOSU.org. Mignon Fogarty, Grammar Girl, thanks so much for your time today. We really appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm glad to help. And if we make it, I'll Twitter about it if we make the goal.
Oh, she'll Twitter about it. She'll Twitter about it. Thanks a lot. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News. This is listener-supported WOSU and WOSU HD 820 Columbus and streaming on the web at WOSU.org, WOSU 820 NPR News. $200 to go.